Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. leafhome.com/water.
Good evening, White Sox fans, and welcome to the latest edition, a very special edition of White Sox Daily Live. I'm kidding. It is Wednesday, September 10th, and this is actually the latest edition of the Future Sox podcast, Hot Takes and Heaters. I am joined by my esteemed and former co-host, that many of you will recognize from our Future Sox podcast with James Fox, Mr. Ian Eskridge. How you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Kind of hanging out here watching the Sox game. We're in the fifth inning, and the White Sox had a commanding lead up until just a couple minutes ago as we're watching the Rays claw back into this thing. But just nice to see the White Sox offense keep rolling. What are your thoughts on tonight's game before we roll into some more interesting topics?
Well, I mean, you know, the Sean Burke experience, as mentioned in the comments, you know, sometimes you're going to see him walk the entire ballpark, you know, it's just the way it goes. And, we were talking about this before we hopped on, is that, you know, in Charlotte, it wasn't all that different. You know, he's prone to walking a few guys here and there, and it's going to get him in trouble now and again. And he got some nice double plays tonight that kind of, you know, stopped him from getting his goose cooked earlier.
Colson with the big play to help out. We saw just this past inning, we saw Miguel Vargas field an infield bunt that looked like trying to bunt for a hit. It was an awesome play. So definitely getting some defensive help, but heesh.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's what's going to happen with him. I mean, until he gets his command demons in check, that's what you're going to continue to see from him. And it's, you know, considering that most people thought he was dead coming into last year, it's found money at this point, I suppose, right? So you just keep on riding it, hopefully get some innings out of him, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I agree. At this point, especially, you know, in a season as this one, and I feel like we've been on repeat for years now where it's a season that doesn't really matter all that much. We're looking at maybe a different scenario than past years where it might not be a season that matters, but it is a season of turning over a new leaf, kind of building on some momentum. We see the youngsters kind of pulling things together here, and we don't really want to, you know, we don't want to really step on their confidence that they're building too much at this point, especially, you know, how things have been going in the second half of the season. But at the same time, you know, we have talked about this on our show and in some of the other shows about how the bullpen was kind of overused for a while when they were, you know, down a starting pitcher, or it felt like even two, you know, for a short time there. It's just good to see that you've got guys that you can kind of throw out there and, like you said, can eat up some innings. So it might not be the most ideal situation when you put Sean Burke out there. Like you said, going to walk the whole park. But, you know, I think it's just more of a building block as to not beat up on your bullpen as much. So we have some comments here in the chat. I did want to say good evening to Baseball Toss. Thanks for checking in. And I think we'll get into this question a little bit. But if you're out, if you're watching live, the thoughts on the screen here, if you're listening to the recorded, Baseball Toss has thoughts on signing the guy for 2030. And, you know, funny enough, Ian and I were actually talking about this a little bit off air right before we got the show started. And, I mean, that's definitely a strange one. We can talk a little bit about that since the chat brought up. I was going to save it for a little bit later in the show, but I don't know if there's really much to say, but, since he's asking, what are your thoughts on that whole ordeal?
So one of the things about the White Sox international classes has been that they have been signing a lot of older guys, you know, guys that have already been playing professional baseball elsewhere, you know, Cuba, Dominican, whatever. This is a new one. The White Sox are apparently, now keep that in mind, apparently via Twitter, that the White Sox are in agreement to sign a 12-year-old in the year 2030.
For how much?
$6 million. You see this kid, and he looks like a grown man. It brings back memories of, you know, the I am 12, you know, guy with the sign from Benchwarmers. And, I mean, his swing looks professional. You know, it's pretty crazy. The thing that people have been complaining about is that the White Sox aren't going out and getting enough young guys. They've been more reliant on older, you know, trying to sign older players like your Cespedes and stuff like that. And, it's interesting, at least. You know, it's something different. How about that? I don't know if the kid's 25 and he's saying he's 12. Could be. Who knows?
But, this is Dominican.
Exactly.
I mean, he was hitting tanks like he was 25. So, you know, there's that. But here's my thought. And you know, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm trying to kind of piece together some of the things. And I won't disagree with you on the age of the players that have been signed. You know, we've talked about the penchant to sign less in the international market and give out higher dollar values for guys that they felt were you know, going to be better baseball players. And now in the last couple of years, we've seen a turn in that philosophy is kind of going on to what more Major League Baseball teams are doing by signing more guys for less money and hoping for that diamond in the rough. And, you know, that might be, you know, something we continue to see. I don't really know. But the fact that there's $6 million on the table for a 12-year-old, and this is kind of where my thought was leading, is it's 2030. And as we all know, in that time frame is where the agreed upon, you know, window for Justin Ishbia to possibly take over full control of the ownership group for the Chicago White Sox. And it makes me kind of wonder as if, like, had that not been a thing, if this deal even is thought about being done. But now that, you know, Jerry knows he's on his way out, and it might not be his money at that point in time. Is there any connection there, do you think? Or do you think that's just more of a team club move?
You know, I think that it's there's definitely a shift in obviously with Marco Patti being gone, there is a new sheriff in town. So, you know, it's generally when you look at the top talent that's in these draft in these international signing classes, you know, the top guys are getting, you know, like $5-6 million. So, what is it? Earlier this year, Elian Pena from the Mets got $5 million. So, I mean, it's not really, you know, out of left field as far as the league's concerned. For the White Sox, it's obviously a little bit different. It's just so bizarre that he's 12 years old and we're already hearing about them having an agreement in place with him. Technically, they're not allowed to do that. So, you know, it's like, who knows?
Yeah, at this point, it might just be conjecture. I mean, these are obviously reports that are coming in. Why something that like that would be leaked is beyond me, but you know, you never know. I'm not really neither here nor there about it at this point. 2030 is still 5 years away. A lot of things can happen between now and then, and who knows? Maybe it's not even a real possibility this is even happening. But you know, it is a little thought provoking to say the least. So and we weird. Can sit here and get a chuckle out of it, you know, until we know more. It's definitely something worth giggling at a little bit. But yeah, there's no better way to say it. It's weird. And you know, I guess I'm seeing in the chat here, we have a 12-year-old in the chat, Noda. Good. Thanks for checking in. I'll try to keep it clean. I'll try to keep it a family show. Won't let it get off the rails too much this week, but we appreciate you checking in. And he actually has a question. Pretty well thought out question. I don't believe he's actually 12. I think he was kind of commenting on what we were talking about. But is this a sign that Getz and company are taking a different approach to international free agent signings? Are they actually going to step up and put more resources into signing more of the younger foreign kids? And I think I'll say I don't know if it's a sign so much as a fact of it's now. I think that's already kind of started a little bit. I know. I was kidding. I said that. I didn't actually believe you were 12. I was just making jokes, pretty bad ones, anyways. But yeah, I think that's kind of, you've already seen that begin. I think this is just more of a sign that if it does turn out to be true, that they're not going to turn away from that philosophy. I think that they've shown, like we were just talking about in the last couple of years, that signing more guys from the free agent market, from the international free agent market, I should say, and even going a little bit younger is probably something that we're going to see more and more of as time rolls on under the Getz regime, if you will. You have any thoughts on that, Ian?
Yeah, I think that, you know, 12 obviously is pretty extreme, but I think that you have to get in there early with these guys, because if you don't, somebody else is going to. And when you see somebody that looks to be as advanced at that age, even if he's 15, you know, the kid looks like he's got something going on, you know. So I would think that, yeah, that was the hope that we have, that, you know, they're going to start to, start signing more of the, you know, kind of casting a wide net, you know, as opposed to signing, you know, like a, you know, one guy that's, you know, 25 years old and hoping that, you know, his 300 average from the Pan American series carries over. You know what I'm saying? Like, we're at this point, I think that they've amended that strategy, and the wheels are already in motion as far as putting that strategy into place, as they've hired more staff in the Dominican. I don't know if ground has broke yet, but they're building a new academy in the Dominican as well. So
yeah, $12 million into a new building down there.
They're making steps to do this, you know. So, you know, let's hope that at this point that you start to be able to work out a way to start getting importing more talent into that, you know, that group of guys down there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair analysis. And I think it's one that Getz has even kind of spoken on himself. And this is just a continuation of that philosophy. It is, I guess you could take it as a sign that they are going to do the things that they're actually saying and putting out into the public, which is something that, you know, we haven't seen in past regimes. White Sox used to play their cards close to their chest, right? You know, during the Kenny Williams years and even into the Rick Hahn's years, there was just a quietness about how the way the White Sox operated and intended to operate. And then if something did leak, it didn't always match up with what they were doing. And so far, I mean, we're close to 2 years now into Chris Getz taking over as the GM. And I got to be honest with you, I feel like everything that they've kind of put out into the ether and everything they said they were going to do, they've done to this point. So that's a bit of a fresh air coming from, you know, from this White Sox organization and kind of being just forthcoming with what it is they have planned. And everything, you know, on paper that they've been talking about sounds great. So if they do continue to kind of do these things, you know, there's just reason to believe that there are things to kind of look forward to in the future here, because everything does sound pretty good. So before we move on, I did want to take a moment to address, now that we've got a few more chatters going on here, the elephant in the room is Jake's not here tonight, right? And Jake is actually broadcasting. He's I think he's doing play-by-play in the booth at one of the college games that he does tonight. So, the big thing is actually, Jake, if you guys have been listening to the show, you would know that Jake took on a live radio job recently with 106.3 The Game down in Decatur, Illinois, and he had his first show this afternoon, or I should say this evening. He's doing the 5 to 6 p.m. slot down there, so he'll be doing that Monday through Friday. If you guys want to go ahead and check that out, they did have some technical difficulties today. I was actually supposed to be his first interview, which, you know, honored to do that. He was going to bring me on to talk about the White Sox a little bit with him. You know, for me, it's like being a proud dad, you know, like my young esteemed partner who went to school to do this exact thing is finally getting his break, and I get to be his first on-air interview, so super proud of the young man there. But if you guys get a chance, you know, I know obviously we're probably not getting Decatur airwaves here, but or anywhere in the Chicago, you know, viewing area, I guess you would say. But it is streaming online at Decatur Radio, so check that out. But yeah, man, I'm hoping the best for him. So in lieu of Jake, we get my buddy Ian here, my longtime friend. For those of you that don't know, when I opened the show tonight and I said it's a very special edition of White Sox Daily Live, Ian and I did that together. Yeah, did you not catch that?
No.
Oh, that's how I opened the show tonight. I was like, yeah. So, you know, I just had to throw that one out there. Ian and I started our podcast co-hosting together, 2019?
Yeah, something like that.
2019, I believe, with the Chicago Dugout, the Southside edition of the Chicago Dugout, which, you know, eventually it was a great platform, but unfortunately some of the folks that were there had to move on to bigger, better things. So, you know, congrats to them for those things that they did, specifically Patrick, the guy that ran the site for us. But, you know, that collapsed. So Ian and I kind of moved on and did our own thing for 4 or 5 years before being brought on to Future Sox here. But As most of you will recognize him, if you weren't following us before with White Sox Daily, you will recognize Ian from the Future Sox podcast. So we're happy to have you here tonight, buddy. Yeah, so let's talk a little bit since we have you on. I know that your forte is obviously the minor league system. For those of you who don't know, Ian is our highlight clipper and poster extraordinaire, where you're going to find most of those minor league highlights for the Chicago White Sox system. Excuse me. Pardon me. Him and James typically spend most of their time on their shows looking at the youth movement within the White Sox organization. So I wanted to kind of pick your brain about, I know it's been a couple months now. It's had some time to stew, but what do you think of the first few rounds of the White Sox draft this year?
I'm excited. I'm personally, I generally try and withhold too much excitement about draft picks, before I see them play. I am really excited about Carlson and Fauci. I don't know. Carlson, elite glove, and obviously they're saying that there's more power to tap into there for his bat, and he's more of a contact guy, but he could already come up and play elite shortstop in the major leagues. We got a pretty good shortstop right now on the south side. So I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening with him. If you remember when he was drafted, he was too old to be drafted, and he's too tall to play shortstop. So whether Colson sticks at shortstop or not, despite being top 10 in DRS at shortstop for the year and only having played 52, 53 games, something like that. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. But if the bat to ball for Carlson can carry him through, let's hope he's a quick riser and we have to figure out, what's going to happen there. And then Fauci, the system has been talked about as being devoid of outfield true, real high upside outfield guys. And then they made the trade for Crochet and got Braden Montgomery. There's one very high upside guy who's, unfortunately got hit with a pitch and fractured his foot the other day. But then you've got him, and then you've got, Fauci signed and drafted and signed. And, he looks to be every bit what you thought you were getting. So obviously young. So we have to wait for some of these guys to, work a little bit. But it's exciting.
Yeah, I can't agree more. By the way, I just wanted to bring up, we are live in the middle of the White Sox game here tonight. Top of the sixth inning, the Rays have just pulled within one. White Sox currently lead 6-5. So we will we'll keep checking in on that as the night progresses. But, it's been one of those years, at least the last few weeks now, where it feels like a lead is not safe with this White Sox. The offense has been turning it out. Unfortunately, there's been some inconsistency in the realm of pitching. So we'll keep you posted as we go here. But Dan Helody, welcome to the stream. Welcome to the stream. Why don't you give us a little bit of a breakdown with your relationship with Dan Helody, Ian?
Dan a lot.
Dan is a big fixture. For those of us, or those of you in the stream who don't know who Dan is, he's a pretty big fixture in the minor leagues, but I'll let Ian talk about him a little bit. Thanks for checking in, Dan.
Yeah, so Dan does play-by-play for the Kannapolis Cannonballers, the low-A affiliate for the White Sox. He also deals with all the press requests and all that stuff, so whenever Jeff Cohen goes down there to go to the games, Dan's who the go-between to you know, get your interviews and all that stuff. And Dan's a pretty awesome guy. It was his birthday a couple days ago, so happy birthday,
Dan. Happy birthday.
Thanks for stopping in. Appreciate it. He's going to be up here in Chicago here in a little bit, so that's cool as well.
Yeah, really, really cool to have you in on the show tonight. Much appreciated you checking in. And like I said, just, you know, all around awesome guy for what he does for the White Sox organization, and just a good baseball dude, right? You know, just involved in a lot of different aspects of what's going on down there. So happy to have him here in the chat. You brought up Colson being a, you know, too old to draft, too big to stick at shortstop thing in your last comments. And, you know, he is there. I mean, there's a bit of Colson mania going on right now, right? I just wanted to catch your thoughts. I brought it up in last week's show with Jake a little bit, but recently I read that Colson himself had actually made the statement that he feels like he might end up getting to be too big to stick his shortstop. Had you heard this?
I mean,
directly from Colson's mouth?
I mean, let's be honest. The guy's 6'5", you know? I mean, he's a big dude. So if he continues to bulk up a little bit, yeah, it's definitely okay. Like I get that. It was just, you know, it's more tongue in cheek just because I'm, you know, people were saying that he would be moved off a shortstop before he even made the major leagues, possibly, you know. And also, I personally find the ageism, I find that to be absolutely ridiculous when a guy's 19 years old. but you know, that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I mean, his glove's pretty decent and the arm's good, you know, it's always, I think it's going to just for every player, it's always continued work in progress, you know, and I don't see him being any different. You know, it's like he never had the Billy Carlson, gold glove talk out of high school in the draft, you know, like he didn't have that. So it's going to be one of those things where he's going to have to work. And you know, we've seen the growing pains with him, you know, as he's gone up through the system. You know, I saw last year, like between last year and this year in Charlotte is like night and day. He looks way more comfortable at shortstop just in between the years. So, and then you see him play with the White Sox and, you know, in his first game, he's making diving over the shoulder catches at Coors Field, you know, so obviously he's talented and, you know, like the thing is like, he's always had lateral quickness. So, you know, cause from his time with basketball, like you they're sitting there saying, oh, I don't know if he's going to be quick enough. The guy was going to go to Indiana to play, you know, to play basketball. Clearly, he's got lateral quickness to be able to get to a ground ball. Like, come on, man.
Right. So. Right. Yeah, you know, it is what it is. I just figured I'd throw it out there because, you know, those words came from his mouth. But at the same time, you know, let's just think about this for a minute. You know, baseball's kind of known for certain positions needing to have certain power numbers, right? Now, it's not a rule, but it is something that seems to kind of happen. So, you know, when we look at the corner infield positions and the corner outfield positions, you usually want some guys that are going to, you know, bang a little bit, right? Having, let's just say, especially with this past draft, with the White Sox kind of taking on the philosophy of drafting a bunch of shortstops with the idea that they're usually typically the most athletic player on a field at any given time. And, you know, taking that philosophy and saying, well, if they're the most athletic player in the field, if we need to move them somewhere else, they can probably make that transition, that transition later on when the White Sox kind of need to move guys into different places on the field. But having Colson, let's just say, move over to third base, he's got the arm to do it, like you said, and he definitely seems like he's a little bit more comfortable with the glove. If we look at his like 162 averages, he's close to like 55 home runs, I think, at this point, if he were to play a full 162 games. Wouldn't be a bad thing Now, right, he's not going to play 162. Nobody plays 162.
That's exactly the thing. Is that
you, I see you shaking your head.
If you take it and extrapolate it at this exact moment, yeah, he's at the one-third portion of the season. But, you know, he's sat out a few games here and there since he came up. So, I mean, realistically, right now, instead of 52, you should be looking at, like, right around 60 or so. Because you got to imagine he'll probably take, like, a dozen days off during the year or whatever. But, you know, the thing that James and I kind of have bounced off each other for like a while now is that if you get a guy that you can count on for, you know, 30, 35 home runs a year and, you know, regardless of what position, you know, obviously if you had him at shortstop or second base, that would be a huge amount of home runs. But if you have him at third, that's about what you want. You can live with, you know, you bump him over to third base. You can live with him at third base with that kind of power production.
Right.
Now, you saw him walk just a little bit ago. You'd like to continue. I mean, that's always been one of his calling cards is his eye. And it kind of got away from him for a little while, and he got a little swing happy. That's kind of looks like it's kind of starting to take a little bit of a break with that and kind of moving, you know, back into being, you know, really patient, which is good. You just don't want to be over patient and watching pitches over the middle, whatever, but
right. Do the damages to the pitches that you can't hit, take the ones that you can't. And that's something like I'm glad you brought this up because, you know, if you pay attention to the socials, you know, at all, which I, you know, I'm there and I'm trolling most of the time. I might make a comment here and there, but, you know, the rhetoric around him right now has been, well, you know, he might hit 70 home runs, but he's, you know, he's only going to have 85 hits for an entire season. And it's like, come on now. History says that Colson Montgomery is not going to do that. This is him walking and people getting, you know, excited about the walks that he's starting to take now and the OBP and the average kind of taking a little bit of a step here in the last couple of weeks, people being excited about that. These are not new things for Colson. And I'm glad you point that out because, you know, we can talk about development in the White Sox organization, which there's more than enough signs at this point to say that they have taken major strides in both sides of the ball, right? The defense this season has been actually quite pleasant, you know, in season compared to seasons past. The other thing, you know, obviously hitting what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know. I guess it's just the sentiment for many years, the sentiment for many years has been the White Sox are unable to develop, right? And the only players that do anything for the Sox when they come to the major leagues are guys we traded for from somewhere else or, you know, a handful of pitchers that just have the it factor. And they've been pretty good at drafting pitchers for a long time, and they don't really need to develop anybody. But we're looking at a different organization almost from top to bottom, at least from, you know, behind the scenes and what we're, you know. So I don't know. There's just so much encouraging things going on with this ball club that I'm happy for the direction. And again, the whole reason I even bring all this up is because I'm glad you pointed out. You know, I gotta kind of turn off, or at least, you know, not get emotional about what I see on social media. Because buddy, let me tell you. I could lose my mind going off on some of these people.
Yeah, I mean, some of the, you know, the responses I get to some of the videos or, you know, like some of the stats that some of these guys are putting up is outright ridiculous. But, you know, like you said, it's almost realistically, like we're looking at like a 70% turnover in the front office and coaching staffs. Well, maybe not 70% on the coaching staffs, but you know, like a good like 50-60% of the guys who are running these teams a couple years ago are no longer around. I mean, the Ryan Fuller hiring seems to be paying a lot of, you know, a lot of dividends. Now, I, and you know, I really like Andy Barquette. You know, I felt like he did a good job, and I felt like the team was starting to I thought that a lot of the guys were starting to turn a corner, and I felt like he was a good guy to hang around. But then they let him go and they replaced him. And, you know, like I was kind of wondering how that was going to play up. And then Fuller came over. It started, you know, it started off a little bit slow this year, but it seems like things have made a turn for the better. And, you know, you think about Chris Getz and Ryan Fuller coming to the decision to yank Colson out of AAA, fly him to Arizona to work on his approach, his mechanics, and just his the mental aspect of his game. You know, I mean, just you never hear about that. You know, you'll hear about a guy getting like a day off or something to like kind of clear his head or whatever. But you don't hear about him. You know, you'll see him sent down to AA.
A guy going from AAA all the way back to Arizona.
Yeah. I mean, you never hear about that outside of an injury, you know? And they
And the masses were like ready to throw in the towel when they heard that. I mean, people were losing their mind. Wait a minute. You're talking about the guy who was our number one prospect that's got to go back to Arizona?
Cornerstone.
Right.
Supposed cornerstone.
The face of the future, the face of the franchise, possibly. Which, you know, I mean, he's not doing anything to dispel that right now. There's very possible he can be the face of the franchise in the coming years. Although there's a couple of guys that are doing some things with this ball club that, who knows, man. I mean, there's some promising young talent coming around. But, yeah, that whole thing, the going back to Arizona, it's been talked about pretty much since Colson's come up and caught on fire this most of the second half here. It's mind-boggling. And, you know, not just Colson. We look at what has been going on. Like, Lenin Sosa. Guys were busting on Lenin Sosa all season long about how he can't field. Well, it's funny how short the memory is. That was last season. Does he give up some bad plays at times? Does he muff some of the ones that are kind of easy? When he makes a difficult play look, you know, easy on the other end. Sure. But, you know, up until a couple weeks ago, he was a zero DRS after being bounced around all over the field this season. I mean, yeah, he's played the majority of his games here at second base, but he's played some shortstop. He's played some first base. I want to say that he's even played a handful of games at third. To be able to do that and not be a net negative in your infield. It tells me that there is definitely some things going on in the organization that weren't happening before.
Yeah, I think it's the White Sox are getting to a pretty interesting point here in the way things are. I mean, just think about, it's one of those topics that, you know, either you love him or you hate him. There's a few people that are like, you know, maybe he's okay. Tim Elko, you know, you follow Lenin Sosa, you see where Lenin Sosa came from, what he went through to get to where he is right now. It took a while, you know, and complaining about his defense, he still got those at bats. Now, Tim Elko, good first baseman, and when you look at his career through college, the guy's a winner. And right now, yesterday he hit his 30th home run of the year, 26th in Charlotte, and then 4 with the White Sox. So he's got 30 home runs this year. There are things for him to work on. You know, there are things that he needs to improve on. But you know, like one of the things that drives me nuts is seeing like Ryan Noda get the shot instead of Elko. You know, it's like
right, we already know this guy is not
yeah,
he's not gonna be here beyond this season, you know.
Yeah,
Tim Elko, again, great point, because you know, this is something that we've kind of preached you and I together as a podcast duo for many years is the amount of at-bats guys get to, you know, have an opportunity to show up, to be able to get comfortable at the major league level. And even when Elko was here, he wasn't playing every day. So, you know, we could talk about how short his stints have been when he is called up, but even in the time frame of that being short, he still wasn't getting into the game every day. And I don't think that bodes well for a guy who is, you know, getting his first taste. You know, Tim Elko was not drafted as a, like, be-all, end-all, you know, super stud that people thought were going to step into the league and become, you know, whoever you want to compare him to. He wasn't going to be like a household name right off the bat, right? Did he have potential to hit big tanks? Absolutely. Is he a solid defender at first base? 100%. There's no doubt about that. But he had a floor that maybe wasn't as high as other players, right? So if he doesn't do the things that he was expected to do.
Possibility of his floor anyway.
Right, the possibility of, right, exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of difficult to listen to folks kind of just write him off. You know, give the guy an opportunity. If he was a top five draft pick, you know, overall, and was thought to be like the savior of a ball club, you know, I can understand you kind of being a little upset about his production at this point. But at the same time, there are a lot of number one draft picks and first round draft picks that don't come out of the gate looking all that spectacular, right? So
I mean, Elko's a 10th rounder.
Right.
Anything you get from him is completely unexpected. But, you know, when I look at it, I see the value there is that you've got a good defender. You got a guy who can hit home runs. He just not like he needs to figure things out in Major League Baseball. That's what it is. And I mean, it's entirely possible that he might never fully, you know, figure it out. You're not going to see like the 290 average that he's got in AAA or whatever that he's got right now. You might not see that in the majors, but sitting here bouncing him back and forth, you know, you saw how that worked for Lenny and Sosa. It just doesn't work all that often. You know, like hardly ever do you get a guy that's just like right out of the gate is just figured it all out right away. You know, I mean, right. It just doesn't happen all that often. You know, I mean, but then we watch Colson and he's got the most home runs in in 53 games for any shortstop ever. So what do I know?
Well, and you know, the thing with, you know, right now specifically too, with this White Sox baseball team that doesn't really have a dedicated first baseman. You know, we can talk about, you know, moving Lenin Sosa and Miguel Vargas back and forth over there. Neither one of them, I feel like, are true first basemen to begin with. And then the other thing is, you know, if you've got Tim Elko who can play a great defensive first base and he's got the size to be a big target for guys throwing the ball and he's got the length to make a stretch and maybe even save a few more errant throws than say a Miguel Vargas could, you know, being over there. The one thing that I feel like I could live with a Tim Elko being there and doing that and live with the swing and miss in his game. If he's going to go out and hit 30 plus home runs in a season and get you 70, 80, maybe 100 RBIs, you know, by the time things are said and done, it doesn't necessarily have to have the highest OBP or batting average. If I've got a guy that's got a 130, you know, plus WRC plus, which it's kind of hard to do if you're hitting 30 home runs. It's kind of hard to be a you know, near average or below average WRC plus guy, or you know, even OPS plus when you're hitting tanks at that pace. I think I can live with the swing and miss in his game, which a lot of people are saying is what needs to be cleaned up the most.
You do it with Sosa, that guy doesn't walk at all. You know, you just, you know, he's hitting the ball, he hits the ball hard. And that's generally what Elko does. You know, I just think that he's been bounced around so much that he hasn't really had a chance to get comfortable. But, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And, you know, you say doing it with Sosa. I'm happy to do it with Sosa if he's playing second base.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's,
if
that's
we got a 25 home run second baseman. That's huge. There ain't guys that, you know, the Dan Uglas of baseball don't exist anymore.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $300 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $300 into something bigger when you bet on money lines, spread, totals, player props.
$300 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know what I mean?
Damn,
so,
yeah. So as baseball mentioned, you got Jordan Leisure in a 6-5 game in the seventh here. Yeah, and Trey brings up that he's been good lately. He has been good lately. You know who's
a
not
bit of
been
a white
good
knuckle
lately?
Ride, but
Tyler Alexander's not been good lately.
No.
Yet he's still on the White Sox, and then they took Dan Altavilla and sent him back to Charlotte.
Brandon
I saw
Iser.
That earlier today, and I was just like, what are we doing here? And you can like point to his FIP, you can point to his Sierra, all you want. The guy's ERA is 2.5. His xERA is, you know, like 160 or something like that. His whip is like a 1.1. Tyler Alexander's like almost at like a 1.4 for his whip, and his ERA is like 6. What are we doing here? Just saying.
Yeah. I have nothing to add to that whatsoever. It's
just aggravating to me. It's like we've been, I mean, and we talked about this. You talked about this as we came in about the bullpens kind of being overworked. And I get that. You know, when you've got like a younger staff and you've got Martin Perez going out with injury, you know, you got Shane Smith being brand new, you know, Davis Martin taking a little bit of time on the IL. Like you're getting not as much as, you know, necessarily that you would hope out of your starting pitching. So your bullpen's going to pitch more. The
baseball
the thing
toss.
Is, though,
oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Just not good. That's a problem.
No. No. Baseball Toss asked why we haven't seen Peyton Paulette yet. Unfortunately, Peyton Paulette's actually dinged up right now, is he not?
I don't think so. He was in the other day, gave up a couple of runs. I mean, like his thing is that he's had, you know, like 50-50, you know, or maybe like 35-65, where he gets hit around a little bit, like 35% of the time, and 65% of the time he looks good. I think the problem is evaluating pitchers in Charlotte is really hard. And, you know, you could look at the Hawkeye data and see, you know, like we can actually see on Baseball Savant now, we can actually see the AAA numbers, which is cool. You can see spin rates and all that stuff. But what, you know, the things that I try and stress is that even if you look at those numbers in AAA and the numbers look really good, like the, you know, spin rates are eye popping, the velo's popping, you know, like the carry on the fastball looks amazing. The command's a little bit all over the place. You can look at all those numbers, and the problem is that they're pitching with different baseballs than they've ever pitched with in their life. And they're playing in Charlotte, which is like a bandbox that has like something like 120% chance of hitting a home run compared to all the other parks in the International League. So it's tough, you know. So why exactly we haven't seen him? My guess is it's 100% a 40-man thing. And I think what they're trying to do is like kind of figure out who they want to keep around and who they want to let go.
Toss, we are not even going to.
That's not coming we're up not tonight.
Even, we are not going to address that. This is a baseball podcast.
On this platform.
Yeah, we avoid pretty much all and anything that could turn, you know, ugly. And that can be an ugly conversation pretty quickly, but it is a shame, and we'll just leave it at that.
Hey, where's your dog? Has your dog come in yet?
No, she's outside with the wife. She's still watching. Out there? Okay. Yeah, why is that?
I was just curious. You get her up on the stream.
Oh, yeah. No, she hasn't made an appearance in a while.
Yeah.
You know, Frenchies, as you well know, since you have had some yourself. I don't know what it is about my dog, but does yours like to do this like between say 8 and I don't know 9:30, 10 o'clock, get that crazy zoomy issue?
She does it for like 30 seconds. She's like 9 years, eight.
Yeah. See, my girl's only a year and a half. Older.
And she's also got anxiety, so she doesn't like really like actually feel free that often. So when she does it, we encourage it.
Yeah, they are quirky little shits, aren't they? Yeah, I mean, but they are definitely fun. I've never been an owner of a small dog before, and I got to tell you, this one stole my heart. She's the best. She's the best cuddler and snuggler. She wants, and it, you know, the crazy thing is, like you say, yours has anxiety. Mine wants to be friends with anything and anyone. We bring her out to the campground, which is like infested with Frenchies. There's 81 campers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, 81 actual campsites that are permanent campsites. I shouldn't say permanent, but, you know, 81 campsites with RVs on them. And I would say probably 8 to 12 of them have Frenchies out there. And most of those have multiple Frenchies. So, there's like
a good place to hang out.
there's like 20 plus Frenchies out there, but including her sister, her litter mate. So,
Is
only two doors down from us, so they get a chance to hang out. But
nice,
yeah. Nugget is she's a social. It's almost overwhelming at times how social she wants to be. Like people are like that aren't dog people. She's like, but look at me, I just want to be your friend. Love me. I'm gonna jump on you and give you kisses. And so it's great.
Good.
But, there was something that I wanted to go back to here, and I thought. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't bring her. I can't bring her on the show too often because she won't sit still for very long. And that's just it. She's like Zoomy Central this time of night. So you know, we were talking about it a little bit before on the show. You know, in our green room, if you will.
Green room.
we were talking about how my wife was telling me, you know, take this dog. My wife's had a tough day at work, and she's taking, but take this dog, get her out of here. And I'm like, I'm about to go live. So like the dog's barking like crazy. I haven't heard any of that since we started. So hopefully she's chill right now. But yeah, thanks for asking, man. Quick update on the White Sox game. We are still looking at the good guys up one in the bottom of the seventh with one out. And Caro actually just made it two outs with a swinging strike on a pitch. He probably should have been just not even bothering. I think he was probably guessing on the pitch before the pitch was even made. And he probably may have had his mind made up on, you know, he was going to take a crack at it. Maybe the analytics, the analytics might not have been in his favor at that particular moment, but it was an ill-advised swing. We'll say that.
Ooh, three changeups in a row.
Vargas just gets roped on a bad call by the umpire there, 2 inches off the plate, called it a strike. But and Vargas even looked at him like, "What?" But you know, let's talk about him a little bit. Just coming back tonight in his first at bat back. We've been talking a lot about. Development within the White Sox, you know, organization as a whole here tonight. And Miguel Vargas goes down with the wrist injury, hit by or get nailed by Aaron Judge back at the end of August, right, during a Yankee series. And he misses some time with a sore wrist. And in years past, typically a guy who's been swinging a hot stick would go for at least a couple of games of rehab, right? And now we look at what's going on. Miguel Vargas comes back tonight, no rehab, misses the minimum amount of time he needed to miss to come back and play. And he immediately goes 1-for-1 in his first at bat. Did you happen to hear any of Will Venables or see any of Will Venables' comments on Miguel Vargas coming up without having that rehab stint?
No.
Okay. I figured I'd ask. But so, you know, just along the vein of development that we've been talking about all night tonight, they have that, what is it, the traject machine, the pitching machine.
Oh, yeah, now, yeah. I heard them talking about it on the broadcast a little bit.
Okay, so, you know, and for those of you who don't know, the traject machine is basically, it's a pitching machine, but it's not a straightforward pitching machine. I can actually dial up, you know, like specific pitchers and load in what kind of, you know, pitches that specific pitcher might throw to a guy. They can, you know, it shows them shape of pitches, velocity. They try to match up, you know, the RPMs on certain pitches and spin rates and all of these different things. So just another thing that I wanted to kind of bring up, because this is not something.
It's got a video wall built into the front of it. So let's also mention that, because that's
right.
That's an important bit of it, is that you can actually watch the mechanics.
Right, so you're not just pitches. Yeah, right. You're not just watching a coach load balls into a machine that's got the wheels on it that, you know, just toss it out there. It is definitely high tech stuff that, again, you know, years past, this was not something that the White Sox were known for, you know, being in the forefront of the technology that's available for them to use. So, you know, I just wanted to point that out.
Put it nicely.
You know,
yeah, tech was the last thing on their mind, but I mean, if you look over the last 4 years, they went from nothing to Barquette brought in iPitch, which has the ability to program pitches into it and mimic the pitches of the pitcher who is pitching. Then they, you know, 2 years later, they jump up to the traject, which is above that as well, which, you know, is awesome stuff. You know, you see these guys walking around with things on that look like, what are they? Trying to remember what they're called. Looks like a sports bra, essentially, but it's just, it's tracking load management and, you know, it's like all this stuff has just started popping up in the last couple of years. It's like a slingshot. I can't remember what the heck they call it.
I know what you're talking about, and I'm not exactly sure what it's called either.
Yeah. It's some sort of vest. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's tons of stuff. I mean, we see, you know, there's the, oh God, I'm going to forget K-vest. The name of that. There
Catapults.
You go.
That's what it is, catapult.
There's also, help me out here, the one with the 360-degree cameras that watches, well, they use it for swings.
Oh, the biometrics stuff?
Yeah, Hawkeye, where they watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Hawkeye, there you go.
Yeah.
Helps with both hitting and pitching, you know, just keeping an eye on swing planes and stances and how guys are getting the bat through the strike zone, as well as pitchers, you know, and their mechanics throughout their motion and delivery. So, I mean, these are all things that, again, you know, we made the joke, you know, it is a little bit tongue-in-cheek about not being on the forefront of these things, but the leaps and bounds that have been made, again, just things that are moving in a direction that it could easily see the White Sox jump leaps and bounds in their record at some point here, given that, you know, they make the moves they need to make. So that'll lead me to my last question for you. It's been a big topic for the better part of the last few months with the Justin Ishbia news and, you know, what he might bring to the ball club. And I just wanted to ask you before we get into our hot takes and heaters. What do you feel? How do you feel? Well, you know, let me rephrase this. What do you think the timeline is for the White Sox to, and I know this is based on purely opinion because there's really nothing out there to say anything about how, you know, we asked about how we're going to, Trey asked about how we're going to blow this. We're going to blow this with not being able to make plays in the infield. But I'll leave it at that. How do you feel about the timeline of, you know, maybe some money being injected into the major league roster?
Well, see, here's the thing, is that we don't know that 100% that that's where Ishbia's money's going. We don't know that it's going to roster.
At least not yet.
It might be going to infrastructure.
Which is the report right now. The report is possibly infrastructure and paying down debt.
So the payroll, I mean, to me, I would like to see them spend some money on some free agents. Nice double play for Christopher Morel here. Yeah. Sorry, I'm ahead because I'm watching on the MLB.com.
I saw it. We're not far ahead.
Yeah, no. Just MLB.com is ahead of my TV. I just happened to see it on MLB.com. The development part of it is what's most important, I think, at this particular moment, because there's not really a whole lot of huge free agents that are in positions that you want to supplant on the White Sox roster coming this year. I think that one guy that James and I had talked about being a guy that would be useful to this roster would be Kyle Schwarber. But if you get a guy like a Kyle Schwarber, you have to sacrifice at bats for either Carroll or Teal because you've got those two guys playing DH. And when one of them is not playing DH, then you've got Benintendi at DH. And we know that we don't want Benintendi in left field. And as Trey knows, obviously right now Benintendi's going off, but there is a lot of the time when he is not. And at that point, you definitely don't want him in the DH. He's eating up $15 million of payroll a year, or I think there's like a year in there that he's making $17 million, or maybe it's the next two that he's making $17 million. But, you know, I know a lot of people would probably like to free their minds of having Andrew on this team, you know? Obviously, if he's hitting like this right now, it at least makes it easier to swallow having him on the team. That's my answer. Is that I don't think that the free agents part of it is necessarily as important right now as some people do. Would it make them more competitive next year? Yeah, probably. Assuming that you trust your pro scouting and the decision making of Getz, assuming that he does get allowed to spend that money on payroll. I would rather put my mental focus on what they're doing in the minor leagues to improve things moving its way up. Because as you see right now, when you look at this roster, I mean, how many guys have been replaced on this roster that were position players? I mean, there's quite a few guys that are newish, you know?
Yeah. No,
so I say just keep building.
Yeah. And please allow me to play devil's advocate just a little bit. Wow. Benintendi, speaking of, just roped one just foul, head to distance. Guys in the 108, watching that one hit the netting right before the that classic view, the foul pole there.
I can't go get the bobblehead, and I'm kind of bummed, not gonna lie. I have to stay at work late that day, and I can't go get the that ridiculous bobblehead.
Yeah, what day is that? What game is that again?
It is the 16th, which I believe is Tuesday of next week.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I will be in Mexico. So, yeah. You know, we know some guys in the 108. Maybe they're going to get a few extra promotional ones. I don't know. We'll have to
put that would be great and all, but I'm not going to lean on them for that at all. That's
no.
I'm not trying to take anything away from them making a couple bucks.
Yeah, right.
That money.
Right. I'll just have to go on to My Sock Summer's eBay page and see if see if we can find something.
Find that and like a Alex Rios bobblehead. You know,
yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, Alex Rios from like 2008.
Yeah, or maybe a Esteban Loaiza.
There you go,
Kingpin bobblehead. You know,
does it come with like a backpack full of
it might. You know, I just saw just a little side thing here. I just saw because the Knights were playing the Nashville Sounds the other day. The Nashville Sounds have a giveaway. I believe it's next week in their final week. They have a giveaway that is their manager, but it's not a bobblehead. It is a bobble stash. He's got this big giant mustache, and the mustache moves. It looks hilarious. Anyway.
Yeah.
Ooh, a little
fun stuff.
Tank bobblehead, Dion Vicieto. There you go.
Yeah. I mean, you might find that on his eBay page. It's you find Menez. That. I don't know. You might find anything from like used glow sticks and old pizza cutters on there too. I don't know. I mean, he'll sell anything he can get his hands on. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So he apparently does well doing that as a stay-at-home dad with an eBay account. Man. So
do your thing.
Yeah. No, I not by all means, brother. You know, I got nothing but. Nothing but love and goodwill for those guys. They're awesome. I got an opportunity to sit and talk with them a couple weeks ago when I went to see my my niece was honored on field for for her softball Little League World Series appearance. So good stuff. But I just wanted to go back to what we were talking about with the payroll and the Ishbia thing. I'm going to play a little bit of devil's advocate, and I want you to, you know, tell me if I'm off base by thinking this, but I agree. There's not a whole lot of free agents, especially in this class, coming that I feel like the White Sox should go and chase after. And, you know, especially if they're not really in the throes of being completely competitive yet. But I feel like, you know, as we're talking about all the things that are changing within the organization and continuing to build the organization almost from the ground up as a whole, you know, when it comes to new analytics staff and the addition of just bodies in the world of the coaching staff and in strength and analytic and strength and conditioning and you know, all of the departments that the White Sox were lacking in before, the tech and everything else, those things are great. But at the same time, you know, we know that free agents in the past have kind of looked at the White Sox as this organization you just don't want to go to. You know, it's no secret that guys talk amongst themselves. And, you know, there were some pretty bad reports in the past about guys who had left the club and were pretty verbal about their experience directly to the media, right? So my only thought is it would be nice to at least see some sort of move that signifies that this is no longer the place free agents go to die, right? And that the White Sox are moving towards a more rounded organization that doesn't necessarily have to be the bane of baseball players' existence if they do get traded or signed here.
I think it has to happen organically, to be honest. I mean, like, I think that it has to happen from growing from within. You know, I don't think that you know, if the guys that are underneath in the farm, if they don't grow, you know, just to use a anyway
an analogy. That's a deep analogy.
Yeah,
I'll let that one slide.
If you don't get the guys,
hands, growing
yeah,
hands,
exactly. Yeah. If you don't get the guys that are supposed to be the guys that are supposed to be getting guys like that out of this place, they're going to continue to bring guys like that here. You know, there you go. Perfect. Pay homage to him while he's calling his game.
Yes.
But yeah, I think that the thing is that the guys that you are expecting to be dudes have to be dudes, because if they're not beating out of Brandon Drury in spring training, if they're not showing more promise and looking like they deserve the at-bats more than a Josh Rojas, then they're going to keep a guy like that around. I mean, you saw Josh Rojas was on this roster forever. You know, we were all calling for him to be gone 2 months ago, and he hung on and hung on and hung on because they wanted to make sure that guys were ready to make their way up, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, Josh Rojas, if we go back a couple of years, was a player that you might have desired to be on this ball club. But he's getting into the, you know, a little bit later. I know you see you shaking your head. I'm not saying that.
I don't want him in an important role, but I love, like, his spunk, his moxie, you know, is great for the dugout. The dude had a mouth on him for sure, which is great. And I don't mind him teaching the young guys to have some swagger. Like, that's awesome. But having him in a role where he comes in and is botching ground balls at third base, and to top that off, not getting hits, that's not what I want from him, you know?
Right, right, right. So I was only saying that, you know, his numbers were better just a couple of years ago. They wasn't that long ago. But he is getting a little long in the tooth now, and he's not producing. So, yeah, it was time. Unfortunately, like you said, there's not really anybody there that's pushing him out of that role, at least for...
Well, there wasn't. I mean, I think that you know, like, if you look at the way the promotions have gone in the minor leagues this year, you know, like, Caleb Bonnemer has, you know, pushed past the expectations that were expected out of him for his first pro season, you know?
Right.
His first full. And, you know, I mean, he made it to Winston-Salem. We fully expected him to stay through Kannapolis this entire year. They felt, you know, comfortable enough to bump him to advanced A. And I think he's got like the top WRC plus in the system or something like that for the season. I mean, that's a big deal. And plus, he's shown that he can, you know, his throwing arm is a little erratic, and that's something that he needs to work on with his mechanics and stuff like that, and use his body a little bit more for his throws, so he doesn't get so crazy with his throws that they go sailing or go into the ground. But, you know, he's shown that he can play shortstop and third base, and you know, it's been pretty decent. You know, I think, you know, like, these promotions, they're starting to push everybody up, regardless of whether the major league roster is ready for that at this point yet. You know, like, some of these guys are just going to move some of these guys and get some of these older free agents out of the way. So
Nugget has entered the building.
Yeah.
Oh, and she just... Oh.
There she is.
Okay.
She hasn't seen you in like 45 minutes, man.
I know, right? They were. Oh, goodness gracious! Sorry about the tornado / earthquake that just happened, folks. Wow, she's been outside all this time. She have zoomies.
So to answer this,
my wife was like,
right,
I thought
here,
she was hungry. Yeah, I wanted to hit this question.
Yeah, I think probably, like, I don't think that the White Sox are gonna, like, spring for pitching, to be honest. I think that they feel that they've got enough pitching, and you've got so many guys coming back from Tommy John that they're going to just ride that. And I think, you know, what you've seen out of, like, Shane Smith and Davis Martin and not necessarily Burke so much, even though you've seen the stuff, and then you see Grant Taylor getting taken out here by the trainer, which is not ideal.
No.
Yeah, not good. Hopefully he's okay. Hopefully it's not anything too bad here. But you know, like the idea was for Grant Taylor to go into a starter's role for next year if he can do that. I think that they'd rather, you know, ride on that.
I'm guessing it's a lat.
Yeah, that was my guess as well, either a lat or an oblique. Which or if oblique, that's the yeah. case, then he's done for the year. And yeah, he probably is anyway. But yeah, I don't. I would be surprised if they spent money on starting pitcher. Yeah, I mean, Scooble would be great as an ace type guy. The dude is obviously a stud. I just don't know that they're going to spend $300 million on a starting pitcher.
And I don't know that Detroit lets him go. Honestly,
yeah, Little Caesar probably wants to resign him. I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, typically, if your current team is offering anywhere close to anywhere else is, I would
give them draft picks.
Yeah, I would think that he's going to stick around where he's at. I don't honestly see him going anywhere. But then again, Nota makes a good point that he is. I mean, guy's potential, you know, Cy Young material year in and year out if he continues to pitch as the way he does. There could be a bidding war, and I don't know if that's one the White Sox need to get into right at this particular moment.
Yeah, there's that. I would say probably like Schwarber would be like a guy that I think that the White Sox would probably be able to afford and could probably grab, possibly. I think it's one of those things that, like, you know, whenever you get a chance to add a 45-50 home run guy, you generally do it at a DH spot. You're just going to have to figure out exactly how you plan on doing that without sacrificing the ABs for your duo of catchers that you're trying to watch continue to develop.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed 100%. And, you know, we'll see how it goes. Having a full-time DH, you know, I don't see there being an issue with it. I know that everybody wants to see Carroll and Teal in the lineup together as much as possible, which is why so many people were happy to see when, you know, right before rosters expanded, we got Corey Taylor or
Corey Taylor.
Wow. Corey Lee back. Yeah. I don't know. My mind must be on karaoke already.
You guys are doing Slipknot at karaoke.
I might do some. I might do some Stone Sour.
There you go, Stone Sour.
I do some Slipknot too.
I've never seen that at karaoke. That's funny.
But, you know, the lighter of. I mean, I could go and do like Wait and Bleed, but you know. Anywho. All right, we're gonna.
Fair enough.
Well, I think we're gonna put a bow on it here.
Bow on it. Walk us out here, pal.
We're about a little over an hour and 15 in. We appreciate in the chat. You guys have kept us going all night. First off, want to say again, congratulations to Jake on the new job and having his first show on the air. It was not without its issues, but you know, as any first day goes, I'm sure he was a bit overwhelmed. I probably would say that, you know, I listened to him live, even though I didn't get a chance to get my interview in. I would guess that some of those issues were not his. They were station related. So, but if you guys do get the opportunity, if you're a fan of Jake here in the show, go ahead and check him out on 106.3 on Decatur Radio. It's 106.3 The Game. It is an ESPN station. Jake's doing the 5 to 6 o'clock hour on weeknights. Check that out. And as long as everything, the technical difficulties have been fixed, I will be interviewing with him around 5:45 tomorrow evening. So check that out. My next thanks is going to go to my co-host tonight. And, you know, we have been doing this for a long time. I feel like it was like jumping right back in where we have left off and we've never, gotten away from it. But always good to see a familiar face and a great friend. Thank you to Mr. Ian Eskridge for hanging out with us tonight and spitting.
Me.
Yeah, just spitting all kinds of knowledge. Much appreciated. I'm sure the chat appreciates you too. If you guys enjoy the content here at Future Sox, whether it's Hot Takes and Heaters or any of the other shows, including the Future Sox podcast with Ian and James, or if it is Future Sox Roundup with Elijah and a, I could say like a rotating crew of co-hosts between Jeff and
most of the time
and Dylan. Yeah. So, but you know, please check those guys out and remember that anytime you see us live, super chats are open. Smash that like button, subscribe, break your keyboard. You do whatever it is you got to do. If you don't want to show us any monetary love, those things help us with the algos and whatnot. But we appreciate all of you for checking in. If you are interested in our written content, you can find that and everything else on our website at www.futuresox.net, as well as our exclusive stuff behind the Patreon paywall. For only $2 a month, you can get all our exclusive stuff. Guys are doing write-ups. Follow our Twitter account where you can see all of Ian's hard works on the highlights. And as always, it's been a pleasure. He's Ian Exrich at Daily White Sox on Twitter/X. I am Danny Miller FS. It has been awesome. Thank you all for checking in. And until next time, go White Sox.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Wondering if dangerous contaminants are in your home's water? Get Leaf Home Water Solutions today. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make it safer and healthier. Leaf Home Water Solutions is offering a free in-home water test. Just visit leafhome.com/water to schedule yours. With results from their advanced digital testing, Leaf Home Water Solutions can design a whole home system and expertly install it in as little as one day. With Leaf Home Water Solutions, you can feel confident that each drop of water from every tap and appliance is cleaner and safer for you and your family. We can't live without water, but we can take actions today to make our family's water safer with Leaf Home Water Solutions. Schedule your free home water test today at leafhome.com/water and save 15% on all home water treatment systems. That's leafhome.com/water for your free home water test and 15% off. LeafHome.com/water.